Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of the HJ podcast. Today we're talking about crypto. Okay, so let's unpack this with a quick game of Would You Rather.
Oh, I like games. Let's hear it.
Right. So imagine you've just made a massive financial windfall. You know, you've played the markets perfectly, the charts are all green, and you're just sitting on this mountain of profit.
Sounds like a good day.
A very good day. You're feeling like royalty. Now the question is, would you rather give the government 55% of that mountain?
Or just 20%?
Exactly. Or just 20%.
I mean, I think I know which option our listener is going to choose. Honestly, it's not even much of a choice, is it?
Not at all.
It's literally the difference between feeling like you've been robbed and feeling like you've actually won the game.
Exactly. And for a long time, cryptocurrency investors in Japan have been stuck in that first category. You know, feeling a little bit robbed.
Definitely.
But today, we're diving into a massive shift. We're looking at this incredibly detailed analysis from February 6th, 2026, and it's titled Japan's Cryptocurrency 2026 Tax Change. And what's wild is that this isn't just about boring tax codes.
No, not at all.
It's about how a bureaucratic rule change might actually, almost accidentally, trigger a gold rush into Tokyo real estate.
That's the real shock here. It's this fascinating collision of two completely different worlds. On one side, you've got the digital, super volatile world of Bitcoin and Ethereum. And on the other, you have concrete steel and very expensive world of luxury condos in skyscrapers in Minato and Shibuya.
Right. The cloud versus the pavement.
Exactly. And the bridge connecting them is this new tax reform blueprint.
So the mission for today's podcast is simple. We're going to figure out exactly how money is expected to move from the digital realm into tangible buildings, because we're seeing a potential wealth transfer window that could literally change the face of the Tokyo property market. But first, I think we have to talk about the pain.
Oh, the pain is very real.
Right. Because to understand the relief, you have to understand just how bad the headache is right now.
It's a severe headache, and it's very specific to how the Japanese handles these assets.
So lay it out for us. It's early 2026. If I'm a crypto trader in Tokyo, and I've just made a killing on the latest bull run, what actually happens when I file my taxes?
Well, currently you're walking right into what we call the miscellaneous income trap.
The trap? That doesn't sound good.
It's not. In Japan, gains are just lumped together with other miscellaneous income, which means they are added directly to your regular salary. And then the whole thing is taxed at a progressive rate.
Progressive meaning the more you make, the more they take.
Precisely. It stacks on top of whatever you earn from your daily job and for high earners, which look, if you've had a good run in crypto, you're likely a high earner for the fiscal year, that rate creates a ceiling of 55%.
Wow.
That breaks down to 45% national income tax plus around 10% inhabitants tax, local inhabitants tax.
55%. That is agonizing.
It really is.
You take all the risk, you do all the research, you ride the absolute volatility roller coaster of the crypto market, and the government just takes more than half.
And it gets worse. Under the current system, there is no loss carry forward.
Okay, stop right there.
This is the part that drives traders crazy.
Remind us why that matters. I feel like loss carry cords are one of those dry accounting terms that makes people's eyes glaze over. But it's actually huge.
Oh, it's everything. Let's use an example. Imagine you lose 10 million yen in 2024.
Okay, that hurts.
Right. You're in the hole, but then 2025, the market bounces back and you make 10 million yen.
Okay, so I'm back to zero.
Exactly. In a fair world or typical business environment, those would cancel out. You broke even, your net profit over the 2 years is zero.
Because I haven't actually made any money.
Right. But under the current miscellaneous rules, you cannot deduct that previous loss.
All right. Cheating.
Nope. The tax man just looks at 2025 in complete isolation and says, hey, congratulations on your 10 million yen profit. Please hand over 5 million.
So you owe taxes on the 2025 profit, even though your net position over 2 years is completely flat.
Exactly. You're just paying taxes on the money you've basically just recovered.
That feels like this system is almost designed to punish you for trading. It treats it less like an investment and more like, I don't know, gambling.
That's a very fair assessment. Currently, the system treats it as windfall, not a legitimate business activity. But here's the good news. According to our article, the cavalry is coming.
Okay, let's hear the good news.
The Liberal Democratic Party and the Japan Innovation Party have released a blueprint that changes this game entirely.
Okay, we are strictly impartial here. We don't take political sides on this podcast, but we definitely need to know what they're proposing. What's the headline here?
I'd say the headline is separate taxation.
Separate taxation.
The proposal is to pull crypto completely out of the punitive miscellaneous bucket and treat it more like stocks or investment trusts.
Okay.
And the new rate is a flat 20%.
From 55% down to a flat 20?
Yeah.
That is staggering.
It's a massive release. It breaks down to 15% national tax and 5% local. But honestly, for the serious traders, the real game changer is the introduction of a 3-year loss carry forward system.
Oh, so going back to your example, if I have that bad year where I lose 10 million yen, I can actually save that loss.
Yes. You bank the loss, then when you make the 10 million profit the next year, you apply the loss to it. Your taxable income becomes zero. You pay zero tax.
See, that makes so much more sense.
It aligns crypto taxation with traditional equity investors. It finally acknowledges that markets go up and down, and it allows you to smooth out the volatility over time.
It essentially makes crypto a legitimate financial instrument rather than a weird punitive hobby.
Exactly.
But wait, I see a note here in the article about specified assets.
Yes.
Is this a blanket rule? Like, does every single digital coin I own qualify for this 20% paradise?
Here's where it gets really interesting and where you have to be very careful. No. It doesn't apply to everything. The reform applies to specifically to specified crypto assets.
Which means what?
Practically speaking, it means assets handled by businesses registered in the Financial Instruments Business Operators Registry.
Okay, the big ones.
Right, we're talking about major players, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple. There are about 105 cryptocurrencies currently listed on registered Japanese exchanges that are expected to qualify.
So if I'm trading some, I don't know, obscure meme coin on a decentralized exchange that isn't registered in Japan,
you're likely out of luck. That would probably still fall under the old miscellaneous income rule.
At 55%.
Yep. And there's another catch that investors really need to be aware of. What about the income you generate from holding the crypto?
You mean like staking rewards or lending yields?
Exactly. Or profits from flipping NFTs. The article analysis suggests those are expected to remain classified as miscellaneous income.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So the capital gain on my Bitcoin might be 20% when I sell it, but the yield I earn from lending it out is still hit at 55.
That's the expectation right now. It's a hybrid model, so you really have to categorize your portfolio carefully. You can't just throw a spreadsheet at your accountant and hope for the best anymore.
Right. You have to know exactly which buckets each yen falls into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we have this massive tax cut on the horizon. If I'm an investor, I'm probably popping the champagne right now. But hold on, the article title says 2026 tax change.
Yes.
Does that mean this applies to the tax return I'm filing this year?
No, and this is probably the most common misconception right now. If you celebrate too early, you're going to have a very unpleasant conversation with the tax office.
So what's the real timeline?
We have to look at the legislative cycle.
The boring but necessary part. Walk us through it. Why can't they just flip a switch and make it 20% today?
Because Japan loves process. Before the tax law can change, the legal status of the asset itself has to change.
Right.
The Financial Services Agency, the FSA, has to reclassify crypto under the Financial Instruments and Exchanges Act, or FIEA.
Because currently it sits under the Payment Services Act.
Correct. It's currently regulated as a means of payment, basically like digital cash. To tax it like a stock, they have to legally define it as a financial instrument. And that takes time. The article outlines the dates very clearly. The reform outlines were released in December 2025, the amendment bill to go into the diet in early 2026. Then comes the debate and review period through 2026 and 2027.
So what's the target date? When does the 20% rate actually kick in?
The likely effective date is January 1st, 2028.
2028?
Yeah.
That's a while from now. That's almost 2 years of waiting.
It is, but this gap is highly strategic. Think about what that does to investor psychology. It creates a massive waiting period.
Right.
If you're sitting on a huge gain right now, you have a huge incentive to not sell. Why sell today and pay 55% when you can hold until January 2028 and pay 20?
It's basically the marshmallow test for crypto investors. Can you wait 2 years to save millions of yen?
Precisely. So we are looking at a scenario where a massive amount of capital is going to be locked up, just held for the next 2 years.
And that brings us to the absolute core of today's podcast. We've got these investors holding onto their Bitcoin, waiting for 2028. Once that date hits, they sell, they pay their 20%, and then what? What do they do with the cash?
That's the multi-million yen question. And the answer, according to the article, is Tokyo real estate.
This is the so what of the podcast. Why buildings? Why not just buy more crypto or put it in traditional stocks?
It's more about the sheer volume of free money this tax change generates, and then the urgent need to preserve it. Let's look at the maths provided by the analysis. It's startling.
Run the numbers for us.
Let's say an investor realizes a 100 million yen gain.
Okay, nice round number. Roughly 625,000 US dollars as of start of April.
Under the old system, your tax bill would exceed 50 million yen. Gone. Poof.
Just hand it over.
Right. Under the new system, your tax bill was 20 million yen.
So that's a 30 million yen difference.
30 million yen. That just stays in your pocket solely because a law change. Now, in many parts of the world, 30 million yen is, you know, a nice car. But in the Tokyo real estate market,
what does that buy you?
Substantial down payment on a luxury property. In some emerging areas, that's enough to fund an entire small investment apartment outright.
That's fascinating. It's like the government is literally handing you a down payment just for waiting until 2028.
Exactly. And you have to consider asset diversification. We've mentioned earlier that crypto is incredibly volatile. Bitcoin's 30-day volatility can exceed 45%.
Right, the roller coaster.
And here's the scary stats from the article. During periods of market stress, Bitcoin's correlation with the S&P 500 reached 0.88.
Meaning when the traditional stock market crashes, crypto crashes right along with it. It's not the safe haven some people claim it is.
Right. It behaves much more like a high-risk tech stock. But Tokyo real estate?
A different story.
Completely different. It has historically low volatility. It can, and historically has, offered steady appreciation in prime locations. And crucially, it has very low correlation to global equity markets.
Okay.
So the strategy here is wealth preservation. You make your fortune in the wild west of crypto, and then you park it in the bank vaults of Tokyo property.
You move from the cloud to the concrete.
Precisely. You would take the high risk to build the wealth and the low risk to keep it.
But is the bank vault actually safe? I mean, we need to talk about the state of the Tokyo market right now. The article gives us a really good snapshot of the 2025 to 2026 market. Is it a good time to buy, or are we looking at a bubble?
It's definitely a hot market. The stats are aggressive. As of March 2025, prices for used condominiums in Greater Tokyo area rose 37.5% year on year.
37%?
Yeah.
That is a massive growth for real estate. That sounds almost unsustainable.
It sounds high, yes. The average price has pushed past 100 million yen. And if you look at the central Tokyo prime wards, the average is over 120 million yen.
So it's undeniably expensive. Why are people still buying at those prices?
Because the supply and demand dynamics are incredibly tight. Occupancy rates in central wards are over 97%.
Wow, 97%.
There is almost nothing available. People want to live in the city center, and there simply aren't enough units to go around.
So if you buy an investment property, you're not going to struggle to find a tenant.
Highly unlikely. And despite those high purchase prices, rental yields are holding steady at 3 to 6%.
That's not bad.
It's a decent cash flow, especially when you have to compare with the 0% yield of just holding Bitcoin, unless you're staking, of course, but then you're back in the 55% tax bracket.
Right. It all connects back to the tax efficiency. But what about the macro factors? I know the Bank of Japan has been in the news lately.
They have. The CDOJ have been raising rates. As of April 2026, the policy rates stand at 0.75%.
Which for Japan is high.
It is historically high for them, absolutely. But globally, it's still incredibly low compared to that of the US or Europe. And the yen remains weak throughout much of 2025. This is a key point for our international listeners or anyone holding foreign currency.
Right, because if you have dollars or euros, everything in Japan is essentially on sale.
Exactly. Tokyo property is effectively trading at a major discount if you're buying with strong foreign currency.
So you've got a weak yen, making it cheap for foreigners, and a massive tax cut, making it rich for locals. That sounds like a recipe for a demand explosion.
It really does. It's a convergence of incentives. you have international money looking for value and domestic crypto money looking for stability, and they are both converging at the exact same asset.
Okay, let's get practical here. Let's say I'm that investor. I've waited patiently until 2028. I've sold my Bitcoin. I have my cash. How do I actually do this? Can I just transfer my Bitcoin directly to a developer and get the keys to a house?
Generally speaking, no. That is still very rare. Most real estate transactions in Japan require fiat currencies, good old Japanese yen. You need to pay via bank transfer.
Makes sense.
There are a few exceptions though, but even if you pay directly in Bitcoin, that transaction is still a taxable event.
Explain that, because I think a lot of people miss that part.
The tax office sees spending Bitcoin as essentially selling it. If you buy a house with 10 Bitcoin, the government treats it as if you've sold 10 Bitcoin for yen and then bought the house with that yen.
So you trigger the capital gains tax either way.
Exactly. You can't escape the tax man just by bartering.
Good to know. Now, here's a myth I hear all the time. I can't buy a property in Japan because I'm not a citizen. True or false?
False. Completely false. This is one of the most surprising things about Japan for outsiders. There are zero legal restrictions on foreign property ownership.
No visa requirements at all.
None. You don't need a citizenship. You don't need a permanent residency visa. You don't even need to reside in Japan.
So I could be living in New York, never set foot in Japan, and legally buy an apartment in Shinjuku?
You could. Now, financing it, getting a mortgage from a Japanese bank might be very tricky without residency. You'd likely need to pay in cash, but legally, you are completely welcome to buy. You get full freehold title, just like a Japanese citizen.
That is incredibly open compared to a lot of the other countries right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so where should we look? If we're taking this crypto windfall and putting it into prime assets, what counts as prime in Tokyo?
The article identifies the prime areas pretty clearly. We're talking about the three main central wards, Minato, Chiyoda, Shibuya.
The heavy hitters.
These are the areas that command the highest prices and attract the most international interest. Minato is where you have all the embassies, the high-end expat housing. Shibuya is the tech hub. Chiyoda is the seat of political power.
But surely those are already priced at a massive premium. Are there any emerging opportunities mentioned? If I want to see my property value go up, where do I look?
The analysis points to redevelopment corridors. Tokyo is a city of constantly rebuilding itself. Areas with improved transport connections or big urban renewal projects can offer appreciation potential.
Look for the infrastructure.
Exactly. You want to buy where the train station is getting a massive upgrade or where a new commercial complex is being built.
Follow the cranes.
Follow the cranes. If you see construction cranes, you see future value.
So let's try to pull this all together. We're looking at a future, specifically January 2028, where a flood of capital has been locked up in digital wallets, is suddenly incentivized to move.
That's what we call the hold and fold strategy. You hold the crypto to maximize the tax benefit, then you fold those winnings into a stable, tangible asset.
It's almost like a maturation process for the money itself. It starts as this rebellious, high-risk digital code, and it matures into a steel, glass apartment building in downtown Tokyo.
It's also a maturation of the investor. You start out chasing those 100 times gains, but you stay wealthy by securing steady yields and asset preservation.
That makes perfect sense.
This tax reform is essentially the government building a bridge for people to cross over from lucky gambler to sophisticated investor.
But, and this is a big but, we have to remind everyone of the timeline one last time.
Yes, please. If you take one thing away from this podcast today, do not execute this strategy on your 2026 tax return.
Don't do it.
The flat 20% rate is not law yet. It's a blueprint. The target is 2028. If you sell now expecting a massive tax break, you will be very disappointed and you will be broke because of that 55% rate.
Plan for 2028. Use this time to research those neighborhoods. Look at Minato. Look at Shibuya. Watch the interest rates.
And watch the legislation. The amendment bills still have to pass the Diet. Politics can be unpredictable even in Japan.
Absolutely. You know, it really makes me think. We spent the last decade treating crypto like this Wild West frontier, totally separate from the real economy.
Yeah, the fringe asset.
Right. But when you look at this tax reform and you look at how it plugs directly into the traditional real estate market, it feels right. But when you look at this tax reform and you look at how it plugs directly into the traditional real estate market, it feels like the frontier is closing.
or perhaps the frontier is just being paved.
I love that. The frontier is being paved.
It really raises a provocative question for you, the listener, to mull over. As crypto becomes regulated, taxed like a stock, and fully integrated into property markets, does it lose its soul?
That's a good question.
Or is this simply what victory looks like? The ultimate goal of a decentralized currency just to buy the very centralized, very physical apartment in Tokyo.
Wow. That is definitely something to chew on. From rebellion to real estate. Thank you for taking us through the numbers today.
My pleasure.
Just a reminder that this isn't financial advice and all investments carry a degree of risk. Invest at your own discretion. And finally, thank you for listening to the Housing Japan podcast. Check out the article in the description and follow this channel for more Japan real estate insight. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.